Welcome to Allegedly. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. And today we have an awesome guest, comedian, actor.
Oh,
Eric Eric Griffin.
Eric Griffin.
Although
that was almost in harmony.
Yeah.
Marquee name.
Yeah.
Eric Griffin, even if it's spelled wrong.
These bastards spelled my name wrong.
We're upstairs at the Comedy Store taping, and Eric's name is on the front, Marquee, and it's spelled wrong.
And
it's E-R-I-C. It's supposed to be E-R-I-K.
There you go. Well, welcome to Hollywood, pal.
Was there another Eric Griffin that you beat out for the namesake? Because, I mean, there had to be.
Yeah, well, there's like this punk rocker named Eric Griffin with a C.
Mm-hmm.
There's a basketball player named Eric Griffin with a C. But, you know, there's also one with a K. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, Eric is just one of those names where, you know, people just assume it's always E-R-I-C. But, you know, I'm a Viking.
You changed the game.
I rape and pillage. You know what I mean?
So you're naturally, your name has the K. Like,
yes.
You didn't have to change it for like a SAG rule.
No, it's just, yeah. They just put numbers on, like, when you go to IMDb, it'll be like Eric Griffin.
Number 7.
Number 2 or whatever, yeah. Just like that, you know.
Yeah.
And who else's name is on the marquee? Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn made it in tonight.
This is our first podcast since your special has been released.
Oh, it's your big special.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
Everybody's talking about it.
So you guys check it out on Netflix. It's just Theo Vaughn, no offense. And we're going to get to the podcast now, how our podcast works every time it's a competitive podcast. Matt is homosexual
this.
And from Philadelphia and also believes in Judaism. And I am a non-practicing
homosexual.
I'm a lot
more than that. I am.
It's great how he said it, like, as if like you were a witch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Your whole approach to it was like, you know,
like,
and
don't
he believes
get too close to him.
Yeah, he believes in the Judaism. Yeah, so we're gonna really discuss that today.
No, we'll talk about saving him later down the line. But for now, we are
Jesus.
And Theo, you can describe me then, Matt.
And Theo is from Louisiana. He is straight. He believes in that JC guy. He's got street smarts.
Okay, we'll say that, right?
You left out redneck racist. I don't know why.
That was the street smarts thing.
That's what
I was trying to say.
That was a kind way of putting street smarts.
Street smarts.
But Matt and I have been friends for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
We both meet on the common ground of that this city can beat you up and tear you apart. And if there's ever any man that I've cried on the phone to, it's probably been Matthew Cole Weiss and vice versa. So we're always there for each other. But on this podcast, we are not. On this podcast, we are competitors. And we're going to compete to win every episode. Eric, our first round is?
Our first round is storytelling. Theo and I each have 3 minutes to tell a story of something that's happened to us in our lives.
Okay.
It can be about Hollywood. It can be about childhood, whatever. And you serve as a celebrity in the whole podcast, a celebrity judge and interview guest.
Right.
Okay.
So you will pick a winner of the first round based on whoever's story you like more or find interesting or whatever. You could ask questions
or
whatnot.
Got it.
And in round two, we're going to interview you, and then you'll judge who gave the better interviewer. Round three will be a shorter round where we'll floor a debate topic. Matt and I will each take a pro or con. We'll do 30 seconds, and then after that, we'll open it up for discussion, and then you'll tell us who won the podcast.
Third topic, Jews. Should they be killed?
Not killed. I don't think that. Should we round everybody up and discuss some things?
I quit.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we lose the whole group.
By the way, that's Ari, our producer over here.
Ari Manis is our new producer.
Who's a Jew?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's a lot more than that. Okay,
I'm a Jew.
Well, he's
okay,
so I won his vote already.
Okay, that's true.
That's true. So I have the deciding vote.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm out. I'm Polish Nicaraguan. So
you have the Goyim vote. Is what we call it. The Goyim vote.
All right.
So our first round is a storytelling.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, you're going to tell your story first.
Okay, good.
Yes, 3 minutes on the clock, Ari, if we can get
ready?
There.
So our podcast is called Allegedly, and a lot of it has to do with Hollywood and what it's really like to live here, to be in this business.
Wasting your time.
Whatnot. No, I'm setting it up. When I was younger, I wanted to be an actor. Yeah, just said five words. When I was younger, I thought I wanted to be an actor, yes. And
did
I did.
You come here to be an actor?
No, I went to New York to become an actor, and that's what really pulled it out of me and said, I don't want to be an actor at all. But when I was in high school, I did two commercials. Mm-hmm. I did a commercial for the Bank of France, mm-hmm. in which I got whipped.
Wow.
In a boarding school. Very bizarre. This was actually like...
And he loved every minute of it.
It's fantastic. It changed my life in more ways than one.
He still plays it on his phone in the gym. He listens to it while he works out.
The second commercial I did was for the electric for the Department of Water and Power in Philadelphia. And I played a kid who touched an electric box and gets electrocuted. So this was great. So then the third commercial was this Sega commercial. So I went to New York, I auditioned for the Sega commercial. I went in three times, right? And it was supposed to film in the Bahamas. And I was like, this is fucking awesome, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, at that time, there was no cell phones or whatever. It was literally pay phones. And I was traveling from Philly to New York. I got on the train back, get home in Philly, and there's a message in the machine saying, congratulations, you got the commercial. You're flying to the Bahamas tomorrow.
What?
Call wardrobe. So I call wardrobe, and they're like, yeah, congratulations. What are your sizes? This and that. And they put me in touch with someone else there, and they're like, we're going to send a car to pick you up. You and whomever you want to go, we'll get with you. You're going to the Bahamas tomorrow. So my dad and I got so stoked. We packed all night long.
You took your dad?
I took my dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was 16 at the time, probably. Like.
Oh, yeah. You probably got to take a parent.
I got to take a parent, yeah.
To another country? Jamaicans?
But then when you were, okay.
Yeah, right. So then, okay. So anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the next day, I want to know what this question is.
I do too, actually.
The way he said it, well, Jamaicans, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, you can't like
you know what's going to happen if you go to Jamaica. You're a young, white, Jewish, gay kid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're doing like voodoo over there.
By the way, it was not out. And also, I said Bahamas. But we'll throw Jamaica into it in the mix anyway.
You see how he saw the same to Theo.
You did that. I did not do that.
You said Jamaicans.
No, I don't include every island together.
So this was a Hollywood dream come true. I'm getting to do a Sega commercial, fly to Bahamas with my dad, get paid. So the next day, the morning comes, we have our luggage. We're waiting outside from the car. 20 minutes goes by.
No.
An hour goes by. We're like, what the hell? And so I call the person, and they're like, I don't know what the problem is. Hold on, let me call the producer. I get a call from the producer who said, oh, there was a mix-up. You actually didn't get the commercial.
They Steve Harvey'd you.
They totally Steve Harvey'd me.
It went to
someone else whose name began with an M.
No.
And I was like, what? So what do I do? And they're like, sorry, you're not going to the Bahamas today. And I was just like, dreams crush.
Wow.
And it was pretty soon after that I was like, fuck this business. I don't want to be an actor, period. I don't want this to happen again.
So you became a lawyer?
No, I became a writer.
His brother became a lawyer, though.
My brother
became a lawyer. That's in the top five of Jewish occupations.
It is?
It's going to be manager, lawyer, writer.
Therapist.
Writer, yeah.
Doctor.
Doctor, okay.
We've probably seen all those this week, though.
Yeah, completely. So that was heartbreaking for me. I never got the second commercial, and I never went up for a commercial again.
Wow. It's a typo, really just a typo, maybe even.
Might have been. Who knows?
So, and you had a typo on the sign today. Small.
They were unapologetic,
yeah,
by the way.
I'm already on the side of this story.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine, dude. That's
and now,
fine.
Theo, your turn. I feel like we're diving into your past.
Okay, I'll get into the past.
If you want to.
I'll get into the past if you want.
Oh, God, you have another hooker story.
So, now there was a...
start the clock.
All right, start the clock. When I was young, they had, this is like when the NWA came out and stuff like that, right? And it was pretty popular. And I was going through kind of a tough time, I guess, where I didn't really know what I really associated with as a child, you know? And
no, I don't. As far as what?
As far as like race and like
so it was like
ethnicity.
White or Lily White? She wasn't sure.
What was the confusion?
Yeah, with it.
I just really befriended a bunch of
was
young
it
brothers.
Motherfucking white? Which white did you not associate with?
Exactly. Eggshell. Gotcha.
Taupe.
Little
taupe.
Beige. You thought you were a little beige?
Fair enough. All right. So you were going through a white identity crisis.
I got a little beige, right? So. And we lived on our neighborhood was just like white trash, really. Like, it wasn't redneck. It was just like the white neighborhood next to the black
neighborhood. It was street smart.
Yeah, it was street smart. So like on the bus all the time, like you rode, like they picked up the black kids and then they picked up the white kids. And the white kids all had to sit in the back because the black kids took the front of the bus. And there was not, you weren't going to be like. Oh.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Like, everybody should get a turn up there. And so, but I remember his name was Le Dragon. He came back. I'm not even joking. This black kid named
His name was probably like Tom or like Joe. And he's
Tom?
Like,
oh, it was probably like Levert or
okay. Yeah, there you go.
No, I Lashrell, love, and I love Gerald like and Eddie Levert. Shout out to Gerald and Eddie, RIP Eddie.
Yeah.
or Gerald. One of them's dead. But I will say this, man. So some of the black guys would come back to the back sometimes and finger bang some of the white girls and make out with them on the way home, right?
In the school bus?
On the school bus. School bus where you learned everything, dude. And everybody would cut holes into the seat and hide drugs and prophylactics.
What? We went to very different schools.
I mean, we did. So I started riding my bike to school, right? That's what I did eventually. And I would ride through the black part of town to get to school, right? It's about 4 or 5 miles probably. And this is a middle school. And my buddy Jonathan Smith would get on the bus, my bike, right? He'd sit on the bike. And he was probably 6'11". I think he ended up dying of a heart condition because he was that black guy that grew real tall.
Why is everyone dead in this story?
Well, just one person is so far.
You just said an RIP to somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's Eddie LaVert.
Two black guys are dead in his story. I just want to point out. Okay. I just want to point out that two black guys are dead in his story. Go on.
Theo didn't kill either of them, though.
Keep going. Okay. And they're both from Jamaica for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd befriended a lot of the black kids eventually because I'd ride through town. So I started, I wore, a White Sox hat, got my ears pierced. And we had this group called NFL, which was Negroes for Life. Even though I wasn't in it, I, repped it and, it was our squad, right? So I became friends Jonathan Smith. I'd ride him to bike to school every day. He would get on my bike. This huge kid on the front of the bike. Really, he should have been peddling. I mean, I was half his size. And then eventually, other black kids wanted to jump on the bike as well. So it became where I was riding four black kids to school. Okay. And they would call me the nigga bus. This is what they called me. They'd be like, the nigga bus is coming, right? And they would get on. And I couldn't say
Two times he said it.
Okay. I just don't know how effective these mics are. Okay. Yeah. And
what was the name of the bus, Theo?
Stop. Stop. It was the nigger bus. Right?
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Stop.
Did you put an R on it?
Yeah, did you put an R on it, dude?
Well, when you told me the story beforehand, you had the R, and then I feel like you censored yourself because Eric was here, and I feel like you shouldn't censor yourself.
Yeah, let's see. So two black guys are dead.
I'm just not going to say anything.
What?
I think I'm going to win this round by default.
So I would take people to school, right? I would take different types of people to school. And
no black kids. What different types?
My friends.
Yeah, okay. That old, I'm friends with black people.
Oh, Jesus.
I can say this. I have a black friend. Right. Go on, Theo.
Jesus Christ. This is our Oscars.
Oscars.
So the next, my buddy Devin Deku, who was a buddy of mine, and we used to go get fruit. We used to buy fruits at the AMP store together. And we'd go outside and eat them outdoors. Well, and then one time we bathed at his house in this big tub in his front yard with his sisters. And
with his sisters in the front yard.
Yeah, they had a big wash tub, basically.
It was a redneck pool.
Right.
Yeah. It was really a redneck pool.
That was your
right?
bath.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they kept pretending they were in the deep end. I'm like, it's just it's flat. there's no deep end, you know? But sometimes even a black people get a little water by their waist. They're it's the deep end, you know? And it's the water was only half a foot deep. Anyway, so me and Devin went fishing one time. We bought some ham or some type of meat from the AMP and we went fishing, right? And some white kids were up on this railroad track that went over this river, the Chifuncta River. And or actually, this is the Bogachitta River. And they started throwing rocks at us and calling us the N-word, these kids. And I'm like, I'm trying to be supportive of my friend, you know, but at the same time, I'm not black. So I'm I'm getting hit by some rocks, but some, I'm not all of these.
Oh, you didn't have your identity crisis while you were getting rocks thrown at you.
When you're being lynched, you're yo, I'm a honky. Let me make this clear right now.
What? No. Jesus. I love John Denver.
I just drive the nigger bus.
So
I don't write.
I was in the trenches with my buddy, and I really felt this was really racist for these kids to do this, man. And it just really kind of hurt my feelings and kind of put me on a place where I was man, for no reason, these kids walked down these train tracks and threw rocks at my buddy for no reason at all, you know? And it was pretty, pretty fucking dark, dude. So very similar to your story, Matt.
Did you ever figure out who you are?
Huh? I don't know 100%.
Okay.
But I feel like I'd make a good bus driver and I would take anyone to school.
Bottom line.
Well, you would have to in today's climate.
There you go.
That's true.
That is Theo's story. Eric, the onus falls on you to pick whose story, for whatever reason or criteria you would like to use, to pick a winning story for this one. And I won't be offended if you don't pick mine.
Well, Wise, I love your story.
Yes. Because that shows you what the business is really
like. Right, and I actually relate. Well, it actually shows more about you being a pussy, but you giving up on your dreams is really the...
That's true. Yeah. Fair enough. Good point.
The moral of that story was it was too hard for you and you quit. But
at least your dad was there with you, dude.
I know.
standing outside the house. That's really all it was.
It would have been worse if you were like at the airport trying to check in.
Yeah.
And there's a man you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a man you don't know.
So I like that story. But I think that we gave Theo such a hard time and he handled it with such grace. Win goes to Theo on that.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm with you.
Wow.
My story is pretty superficial and yours was superficial with a little depth.
Yeah, you ended up being the villain in your story.
No, I know.
Dang, Matt's a loss this first round.
Yeah, I just
Matt usually wins
a little bit.
So,
well, you can
round one right here. Thank you for tuning in today. Whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, do you know you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear? That's right. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights do, your underwear is probably boring. MeUndies is here to change that. Every pair of MeUndies is made from sustainably sourced modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. Twice as soft as cotton! Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies, but once you try them on, you'll understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. And if you don't like your first pair of MeUndies, they're free, no questions asked. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada. You can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. That means undies all year long. Get the subscription or a single pair. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/funny. That's MeUndies.com/FUNNY for 20% off your first order. 20% off your first order. MeUndies, I've got them on. You should too. They're for men's and women's, and Nays is wonderful. MeUndies.com/funny.
All right, so now round two. Mm-hmm. We go to our, look at him hiding his, he's hiding his questions.
I'm ready to win one. I never win.
All right, so we're going to round two.
Okay.
Which is our interview segment.
You have to hide it from me.
Which we're going to interview you.
I will ask the first question.
Okay.
And this was when I was doing my research, and I happen to work at a place called TMZ. So I have seen the video.
Lost already. Win goes to Thea.
No.
Ding, ding, ding. The bus is here. The bus is here. Get on. Charles S. Dutton, get on, buddy.
What bus
get on
is the it bike. Again?
Get on the bus.
Get on the
We're
bike.
Going to Washington.
Right, go ahead.
So I want to talk about that heckler experience and the heckler video. First off, I want to know, is that something that happens often?
Hecklers happen often. Someone like that doesn't happen very often. That girl was there by herself sitting in the front row and she was being just annoying the whole show. And what really happened was, you know, I was going to handle it and it would have been fine. But once they came over and started to be like, hey, you need to leave. That's when she just, you know, went crazy. It was like, so it was really a reaction to that. And then I incited the whole thing by bringing out my camera and taping her. I have a video myself that I'm never going to release because it shows her face and everything. You know, but I have the real video of like her, like how she was being and our interaction. So, but hecklers happen all the time.
But nothing to that
extent.
They're
always women.
Really?
Yeah, women are the worst hecklers. They are the worst.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'll agree to that because a lot of them, they just you can feel them looking for attention.
Yeah.
Do they feel like they can get away with more because they're women? Is that what it is?
I feel it sometimes.
Do. They feel like they should get away with more because they're women. And it's like, you know, it's like they, you know, I'm up here, this odd looking guy. Everybody's giving me the attention, and they're dressed up, and they're like, oh, you know, how come no one's, like, looking at me? You know, it's a weird interaction you get. Just quick story. I remember one time I was talking about this one chick. She was from Texas, and she was like this Barbie girl from Texas, and she was so dumb. So it was just fun, the things she was saying back and forth. So the crowd was laughing. We're having a good time. After the show, her friend comes up to me, and she goes, hey, I'm from Texas, too. And that's just indicative of how some of them are at the show. They just really want attention. Even if it's negative attention.
Right.
It's why didn't you talk to me?
Look at me. Exactly. Look at me, even if
I got big tits too.
Yeah.
That was the kind of thing it was. So I was like, so that particular chick, I don't know what was going on with her. I feel bad for her. You know, and I only said I was going to press charges thinking that would make her leave.
Right.
And she didn't leave. But believe me, when the cops came and we were outside, she was bawling.
Right.
You know, she was like, they're picking on me. And the cops came over and said, hey, do you want to press charges? I was like, of course not. Look at her. This is good enough. But I did want them to put her in the back of the car.
Right.
so I could just like wave my hands around and be like, you know, this motherfucker, you know.
Yeah.
Just to see if they're really scared. But
did you ever feel like in not scared?
No. I didn't feel scared. I was really annoyed. I was annoyed because this club didn't have security.
Yeah.
The stage was too low. You know, I just heard a story about last week, a guy at the club, somebody in the crowd was masturbating in the show. So that just tells me the kind of place it is that they don't know how to, they have no control. You know, the nuts are running the asylum at that particular
literally.
Club.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why
Now, would you wish you to handle that situation differently at all if you go back and do it different or no?
If I had to go back and do it differently, yes, I would have handled it differently. One, I wouldn't have brought my phone out to record because in my mind I was like, fuck, if I start recording this, it's going to end up on TMZ. That's what I thought. And they're going to misconstrue it and turn it like the picture that TMZ has is me towering over this girl like I'm going to hit her. And I was like, what the fuck did they use that for?
Yeah, that really
pissed me off. You know what I mean? So I was like, now, but then. You know, and then there were a couple of websites who picked it up, and it turned into this woman was sick of his act, and she, you know, like
she's sick of everything. Probably that woman.
Yeah, so she, you know, so it turned into that. So I did regret, like I opened myself up to it. But at the same time, though, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of like, okay, everybody, it's time to record, so we can get the actual thing that happened.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So we don't. It's no secondhand, and you have plenty of angles.
Right. There's no question. It's like, you know, like evidence.
Yeah,
you know,
we're doing the evidence right now. Please film this lady. So I may do that another time, but then because it also made me like watch what I said.
Right.
You know,
and would you say that? But I would agree that. Would you say that women are the worst hecklers then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because guys are so easy to handle because we don't want to be embarrassed in public around our friends. It's just something we just don't like to do. You know, so like, and then we turn on each other. Like, you guys are really good friends, I can tell. If you were at the front row of a show and you started talking smack, and all I would have to say is, well, look at your shirt. And then he would go, Matt would go, ah, I told you not to wear that shirt.
Right.
And then, like, we'd handle it and it's done.
And by the way, you're so right.
But this is a beautiful shirt, dude.
Who wears paisley?
What? This isn't paisley, dude.
But what I find is that, you know, the women, they don't mind being embarrassed. They want to try to one-up you. The female ego is like, oh, my God. It's like, it's the worst thing ever. Jesus. It never stops.
Yeah, it never stops,
dude.
It's our Kilimanjaro. Yeah.
Was this experience the worst heckler experience you've had?
No, the worst heckler experience I've ever had was here at the Comedy Store. But this happened to be with a guy. The only thing worse than a regular chick is a drunk asshole.
Uh-huh.
Like a really out of control.
The only thing worse than a regular chick is a drunk asshole. It's true.
Amen.
Yeah, because this is regular.
I stay away from them women.
We don't want to hear about your gay sex.
I thought you were saying I stay away from drunk assholes.
No, so this guy, I remember this specifically. Nick Kroll was on stage. This guy was heckling. He would not shut up, and it was a kind of rude heckling, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's going in on Nick, and it really pissed me off. So when I got on stage, you know, I'm starting to do my thing, and then, you know, he says something, and I go, man, whatever. And he was like, well, I'm not allowed to talk anymore. And then I just went off on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the reaction I wanted. You know, I wanted him to really feel bad, really be embarrassed, and then he rushed the stage, you know? He rushed the stage. He grabbed a chair.
Damn.
He threw the chair at me. And at that point, I just went red, you know? So I grabbed the chair, and I threw the chair back at him, not even thinking that I could have hit somebody in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, Adam, the manager, he was just a manager at the time. He goes, he grabs the guy. The guy's struggling. He's in the front row. And I cold cocked him. I punched the dude in the face. Never punched a person in the face before in my life.
Wow.
Anyway, actually. And so that when I punched him, I thought, oh, this isn't like the movies. You know what I mean? Like, this was a solid dude. I realized. I was like, I'm a girl. I can't.
I'm not a great puncher.
I'm not a great puncher because it felt like it didn't even faze him. You know?
Wow.
I thought he was going to fly back and, like, you know, people were going to be like, whoa, don't mess with Eric Griffin. No.
Wow, man.
People were more like, did he slap him?
Damn, did he slap him with his knuckles?
So then I punched him again, though. I got two good hits in. The guy storms. He like bolts away. You know, Adam's pushed him. You know, he bolts away. And then I jump off stage, and I'm like, and now I think I'm like a fucking, like, you know, man's man now.
Yeah.
And then Nick Youssef, I'll never forget this. Nick Youssef grabs me, and he's yelling in my ear from behind. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
God, this sounds like Real Housewives of Atlanta.
You know. So then, at that point, at that moment, that really brought me out of the haze.
Yeah.
You know? And then I started to look, and then my brain kicked into gear. Because I was, this is all the things that came into my head instantaneously. It was like, one, this is fucked up for the waitresses. They're going to lose out on tips and all the checks.
Right.
Two, the show still has to go on. There's more people coming on right now. And I can't let this happen. So I stormed back on stage, and I grabbed the mic and my best principal boy. So I was like, everybody sit down. Swear to God, I was like, everybody sit
down. Like Morgan Freeman in that movie you love.
Yeah. Free Mr. Clark.
You're damn right. I was like, I'm the head nigga in charge. You know? So everybody sat back down because it was like very jarring. And then I started to talk about them. I was like, how did you let this guy come from the back row and get all the way to me?
Oh, that's a good
Nobody
dangle.
Has my back in here.
That's a
and
good
then
point.
I eventually, like, I let it go. I went into some material, and I finished my set. First time I ever got a standing ovation.
Wow.
I was bleeding, you know?
Wow, dude. When was this?
Jesus.
This was like a couple years ago.
Wow, man.
You know, and then...
That's an intense story.
Have you ever gotten physical in a...
I had one physical altercation. I'll tell you about it in just a second, but I want to I have a follow-up question to this. So your advice for women that go into the comedy club thinking that the attention is... So your advice for women that go into the comedy club thinking that the show is about them. What do you tell...
Well, something I've learned recently is that there's two particular groups that... that don't do well with jokes about them. One, Arab men, okay, who are not very good at taking jokes. You know, that's just not in the culture.
Right.
You know. And two, it's women. You know, women are not good at taking jokes about themselves.
Right.
And it's just that, and it's like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, he's being chauvinist. No, this is just a fact. Like, you could walk up to me and pinch my belly and be like, yo, man, you're feeling kind of fat right now. There isn't a woman alive that you could pinch her belly.
Right.
Okay, in a joking way,
right,
without it turning into something. And then the women around her going, oh my God, why would you do that to her?
Yeah.
You know? And we're in a society right now, and if you talk about one woman, apparently you hate all women.
Yeah.
I don't hate all women, just some of you are bitches. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, and one of you happen to be at the show.
One of you happen to be at my show.
I hate all women, I could say that.
No, but it's like, so it becomes like a thing. So I would just advise, like, just remember where you are, you know? It's a comedy show.
Yeah, it's
a comedy.
Comedy
is mean sometimes. So comedy can be hurtful, you know, sometimes upliftings, you know, sometimes it's a message, a biting message. So, you know, take all that with a grain of salt and just don't be so motherfucking sensitive.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of women that have started to turn in comedy into like it's like it has to be some kind of a movement or like that. If a man's telling a joke that it's against women, it's
right.
Like, this is comedy. This is not.
Don't you get this a lot after a show? A woman comes up to you and goes, oh, you hate women.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They come up to you afterwards and you make a joke. Like I said, I've been talking about my experience.
Right.
Let's say if my experience is that I was an insecure young man and I wasn't great with women and I got treated a certain way. So if I'm now I'm talking about that, all of a sudden, well, you hate women.
Yeah. It's like, it's intense.
No. Yeah.
It's intense.
See, if you know, by the way, going back to your story, if you had been rejected more by women, you'd been more prepared for the entertainment business.
Mm. That could be true, you think?
Oh, yeah, because we're all about rejection. We're built for it. Men are built for rejection. It's always no. It's like, no. And that's what the entertainment business is. It's 1,000 no's and 1 yes, and you just hope that yes is like
right.
Big Bang Theory. Or
right.
Yeah, or that
or
French commercial.
Trip to Bahamas, you know what I mean?
Or so, Workaholics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you don't get that, you have to know that this is part of the business. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask, it's a good segue to Workaholics, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the beauty that is Adam Devine. I really do have a thing for this Adam Devine.
Jesus.
I think he's,
think he is?
Yeah, am I hooking you up right now? What's going on?
Hey, make it happen. This guy, I find him handsome and funny.
He loves young men. He fell asleep in a frat boy's mouth one night, USC guy. That's true.
So, anyway...
pictures.
No.
And I've met him twice, and he seemed kind of like quiet and little unapproachable the times that I've met him.
He just probably felt your hunger for his butthole.
I was also grabbing his dick, and he just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
What's it like? Tell me that. And I like this Adam. So what's it like working with Mr. Adam?
He's great. You know, they all the boys, they work hard. They work real hard. They write, they edit, they do everything. They act in every scene, you know. So, no, they work hard. And now it's really coming full circle for them because now they're all branching off and doing their own thing. But yeah, Adam's great. He's a good friend of mine now. You know, we got Clipper tickets together, so we go to the game.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, he brings his girlfriend a lot.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Just she is you very know. Pretty. I saw
the now, is that hard being the third wheel when you're like, dang, this guy's
No, because I'm all about the game. You
right.
Know? And people love me in my section.
Oh, they
I'm
do.
I'm yelling at people. Everybody walks by, Eric, you're slapping five. The rich people in the front. It's so funny when I remember we were at a game. It was Martin Luther King Day mm-hmm. a couple weeks back. And, you know.
For people who practice that.
Mr. Arizona over here.
Go on.
You can't take that out. That's you. I love it. It's hilarious. See, if I was a woman, I'd be like, oh, you hate black people. You know what I mean? Well, you probably do, though. But anyway.
No. There's a couple that I picked up that were hitchhikers once that never said thank you, and I am still a little
and
upset about
that's
that.
What did it for him.
And they were darker.
And then for
they were
but is it, we just forget to make people individuals.
Right.
That's what our thing is. That's what we have to remember. But anyway, I remember saying like, you can't call a foul on black people on King Day, you know. And then as you see the rich people in the front row, they turn around. But when they see it's me, they go, oh, that guy. Hey, he's so funny. So
Adam Devine's girlfriend, is she here for the long haul?
Oh, jeepers, creepers. Christ. I got a question for you. So you are
where
mixed.
Does she live? And
so you seem.
So you think he's going to like, my girlfriend died. I'm going to run into a gay arms.
Hey, chloroform does a lot of things.
Oh, my God. Cosby over here.
How crazy does it get on a set of workaholics? Because the show is so like, there's no filter, it seems like, between like how crazy men are and those guys are as entertainers and comedians. Like you watch Adam, he's almost crazier in a episode than he is on stage, which rarely seems, usually it's the other way around.
I think that's an accurate point because that's what I equate him to.
Yeah.
You know, is that craziness from the show.
Are they so close to the, like how crazy does it get on set? Is there ever like strippers and it's just like drugs and it's just bananas?
There's nothing like that at all. It's very professional. They are just very good at what they do. They have great chemistry. They remind me, they're like the new Three Stooges.
Right.
You know, it's just the show works because their chemistry is real. Everything's scripted. They have alts and things like that. They're, you know, people think that. The number one question I get when I do colleges is like, is there real weed? And it's like, no, of course not. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very, you know, it's a fast shoot. You know, Monday table read, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the episode, done. Move on to the next.
Bam.
So this is very compact and... Yeah, I wish I had some crazy stories, but there really isn't because it's a testament to the show,
right?
Like how good it is. Like people want to think that oh that's not acting or right. Oh that's not they're not doing anything special. No, they come in and they work hard. They know exactly what they want it to look like. They know the tone. They know what it's supposed to be, and they execute it. And then here we are, six seasons later.
Yeah, wow. Man. Yeah, did you expect it to go this six seasons?
No, I thought it was going to get canceled after like two or three episodes.
Yeah, really?
Well, that's just the nature of the business,
yeah,
right?
And I don't get it. It's not for me. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I never laugh at workaholics.
Right. Right.
I try. I watch. You know, I'm like, okay, I don't get it.
Really?
Yeah. There's a few times, there's a few episodes where I go, there's a moment in an episode where I go, that is so funny. But when the frat boys come up to me and they're like, that's me and my friends, that's their sensibility. Hmm. I don't get it. It's not a knock on the show. They right. know who their, you know, the fan base is. You know what I'm saying? It's like just people that watch Workaholics are not watching Judge Judy or
right.
You know, whatever.
Would you be better on Judge Judy, you think, like as a judge?
Oh, I would be awesome on Judge Judy. Judge Eric?
Judge Eric?
Griffin?
Yeah, oh, Judge Griffin.
They would spell it wrong, of course.
So like when you read the scripts of Workaholics, you don't always think, you don't necessarily get it.
No, I don't. And then now I get to the point where I just search for my name in the script. You know,
yeah, you don't read the whole thing, you just go,
yeah, oh, here we go. Let me see what lines I need to do.
What am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do? Because then I want to be surprised. Because then I watch it when it airs and I'll be, oh, that's what it's about. It's
that's pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes, like I say, sometimes I don't never laugh.
Right.
Like I say, sometimes they really crack me up. And it's all about, like, again, their chemistry.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm hilarious. But anyway.
And you also now you have a new series that you guys that just got picked up and is going to go to series. Is that right? On Showtime.
Yes, going to series, Showtime.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ari, you really like this. Huh? You're excited about this?
I read the book and it's great. It's all about the Comedy Store and the history of comedy, L.A. comedy. And
do you feel like you're going to get extra judged on this show since you are a comedian and it's about the comedy universe?
Oh, yeah. And also just because like comedians are haters.
Right.
You know, so it's going to be a bunch of haters, you know, looking at it going like, that you really happen or I don't like that guy's performance. So this is like, it's easy to be on Workaholics because it's like such a niche, you know, show. it's a stoner, so it doesn't matter what happens on that show. It's wacky. Right. This is like history, and people really think they know what happened, and then it's going to be like, it's based off the book, but it's very loosely based off the book.
This is about the Comedy Store.
Yeah, dying up here.
Yeah, I'm dying up here. To,
correct me if I'm wrong. It's not the Comedy Store. No, the show, because they had to change all the
names. Yeah, they changed the names, which I think is dumb of the Comedy Store, by the way.
Yeah, built-in.
I don't know the whole story, but if I find out that the Comedy Store was like, no, you can't use us, that is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard, because that would, it would be a weekly, like, oh, come to the Comedy Store.
100%.
Advertisement for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just like the Cellar, I think it is in New York, is blowing up because of Louis.
Exactly.
Of that show,
so that would be like, it would just be the most arrogant, ridiculous decision, you know?
And that's a Showtime original series, and and that's
Jim
awesome. Jim Carrey produced, who was here that night. I was here the night that he saw you on stage.
Well, yeah, you know, that's, man, this is what I'm saying. You got to be right place, right time, but you got to be ready. I remember Adam, the manager, he walks up to me, it's like a Tuesday night, I'm about to go on stage, and he says, hey, Jim Carrey's here. And my first thought was like, is he bumping me? You know, like, you're telling me before I go on stage, like, is he going to? And then I got mad, because I was like, this motherfucker's rich. What the fuck is he here?
Yeah.
Bumping people on a motherfucking Tuesday. I was so mad about it.
Right, and bumping people means that they're going to go up before you, so your time gets moved later.
Yeah, so then he says, he actually went, I'm not actually sure. And I was like, okay, well, then, who cares? Was my thought, you know, because he already pissed me off. So then I go on stage, and then like I got an audition for the show the next day.
That's awesome,
man. You know, come to find out that was that night, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
The producer Michael Aguilar, he came to see me again at the Laugh Factory, myself and Andrew Santino, another comic that's going to be on the show. And then, you know, it was like I knew at that moment I booked the job.
Wow.
You know,
that's amazing.
What's like working with Carrey? Is he a
interesting guy. He was filming a movie during our taping, but he took us all to dinner. We had this like cast dinner with him.
Wow.
And it was like he's such a fascinating dude, because this show is not necessarily based off I'm Dying Up Here. It's based off Jim Carrey's stories from the 70s, you know. This is really what the show's about. So he was talking about like living in a closet when he first got here.
I've been there.
You know, here we go. anytime he can bring up Dick, he's going to.
Dude, there's a Rush is coming up soon over at USC, too, and Matt is fired up. He's getting new shoes for it.
So he was telling stories.
He was just telling a bunch of stories about Kinnison, about going to Cantor's. And like that's why in the show we actually went to Cantor's. You know, we shut down Fairfax at 9 a.m., dude. It was like bananas. Can you imagine if you were like, you're driving down Fairfax and you're trying to get to work and Fairfax is shut down between 3rd and Melrose?
That's a Gaza Strip right there, too. That is a total Gaza Strip. It's like Egypt and everything.
Oh, my gosh, man. It was crazy. So, you know, and then he just was like, he was very forthcoming, you know. He just was just telling stories, and
you almost want to listen more than you want to talk around him.
Exactly. But you know, when there's a moment when you want to ask a question because you want to hear more about the things that he was talking about. So, and I feel like he's going to be hands-on now when the show starts. But like, you know, he was filming, and you know,
that's cool.
And
that's
probably,
amazing.
He might end up on the show too. You never know.
Yeah,
he
completely.
Up, you know.
Is he like a weird dude? Because I find him fascinating in a weird dude way. Like, I find, like, John Travolta, like, fascinating in a weird dude way.
I don't know.
He's compelling. I talked to him in the back of the Comedy Store a lot that night.
Him, aside from his work, which is great, there's something just, I don't know what it is.
But, guys, that's why people like that are that successful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are talented, but there's very few people that have that thing that makes them, a superstar.
Right.
You know, so he's, like I said, he's just a very interesting person to talk to. And like, you know, I look forward to whatever he has to offer when he comes, you know, when he comes around. You know what I mean?
When does the show?
We start July 11th.
Start filming.
We haven't even started yet.
Okay. Yeah.
We did a pilot and I saw the pilot and, you know, I thought the first part of it, I thought was a little slow because I don't feel like you really care about this guy that dies.
Right. I read the script,
You don't know enough about him. So even in the execution of you're like, okay, who's this guy? Why is this important? But then when you started getting into the characters and hearing their little stories and seeing their lives, it becomes so fascinating. And I was like really proud. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be great.
Right.
Very cool.
Interesting, man. I have one last question. So you're, allegedly, you're mixed. You're kind of every mix, I feel like, as well. Older, younger, black, white, possibly Latin, Mexican, possible. Is it hard being so mixed because you have, like, a lot more fans and ethnicities bugging you? Like, I feel like you probably get everybody bugs you.
No, I just think that I just don't have a, you know, it's like being multi-ethnic is fine. You know, it's just the only place it wouldn't be would be prison because I wouldn't know what gang to join. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like it's the same thing for your fan base. Like, I don't know what my fan base is.
Right.
You know, so then is it about my age? Is it about what I talk about? You know, people do relate to, like, you know, it's like Russell Peters, you know, it's like, you know, every Indian in the world is like, that's our guy.
Right.
We're going to support him. I don't have that.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to bring, you know?
Well, I think it's bringing great things for what I hear. I mean, you're selling out around the country and people are absolutely loving it. I mean,
how long have you been out here in Hollywood?
I was born here.
You're born here.
Yeah.
So you have probably run or met lots of celebrities over the years.
People always think that in LA. No, celebrities don't want to be around riffraff.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean?
How about being in the business and being a comedian and whatnot?
Well, being in the business, yeah, you meet like comedian people.
Did you ever hang out with Cat Williams ever?
When I first started, I did it for like a year, and I'm not even gonna say I did it. I just went to open mics, and then it didn't work out for me. I had fear. I pulled a U and I quit. You know, and then I just got to a point, you know, where I was like, no, I don't want to wake up 50 and be like, I didn't follow my dreams. I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life, but I knew what I was doing wasn't enough. But it was all based off fear, all based off like, well, can I make it? Can I be anything? Can I be someone? And so then I just said, you know what? Fuck it. You got to just go for this.
And you saw someone succeed. I remember you telling me about this. We talked about this. You saw a friend who was doing shows at the same time as you. You saw them hit some success and you were like, I know that I'm at least able to do that. Who was that? What was that?
There was a lot of people. Jamie Kennedy, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
I saw these people do open mics. Cat Williams, that's what I'm saying, bringing him up. He wasn't even who he is now back in the day. He was Cat in a Hat back in the day.
No.
Yeah, he had some weird, you know, he was a weird dude.
He was in a hat?
That's what he just called himself, you know.
Yeah.
It's Cat in a Hat, you know.
He was in a hat.
Nobody wore a big hat.
He was like shocked.
He was in a hat? He wore a big hat. But you know, but I know you have some coveted friendships. I mean, I know that you and Justin Bieber are friends. I know you have some friendships.
Well, he's just like a friend. He just like he went to the Laugh Factory. You know, he's come to the Laugh Factory and then like, you know, he's just a Workaholics fan.
Right.
So because that's how I've met celebrities.
Right.
Is because they are Workaholics fans. So I remember going to, I was in the Laugh Factory and I went up to the balcony because I wanted to see who was on. You know, like, you know,
yeah.
I was up there, you know, I'm looking down and I look over and there's Justin Bieber sitting there with like Kendall Jenner and a bunch of those people.
Yeah.
You know, and I see him lean over to her and go, hey, look, it's the dude from Workaholics.
Oh, that's funny. Because what do you do?
And I'm going, that's fucking Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm geeking out more than he is, you know? So then, like, I went down.
You're like, hey, look, it's Justin Bieber. You're talking to yourself.
Yeah, I was like, it's Justin Bieber, you know? So then I got off stage. I had a set. And then, like, his manager came and, like, summoned me, you know?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Hey, Justin wants to see you. And at first, I was like, you don't fucking summon me. Think you are? But then I was like, Justin!
Kendall Jenner's gorgeous,
right? She's beautiful and such a sweet girl too. Very sweet, you know.
So have you like hung out with him?
Yeah, I've seen him a few times. I went to I went to his 21st birthday party.
Oh, the one with
No, this was like real low key. It was like low key at this little loft.
Oh.
And it was just only a few. It was like
this was last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
I went to this 22nd one too, and this one was
that
bananas.
Was the one with Diddy, right?
This is
Pete Diddy and the game saying.
Yeah, I don't even. We had to sign a non-disclosure.
Wow.
So I don't think I can even talk about all
you
the
did not.
Yeah, you did.
Awesome. It must have been a good party then.
Yeah. Well,
awesome.
Not for me, you know. You
right.
What? Sounds intense. Do you feel like you're not? Like,
no,
you know,
I was like somebody's uncle there, like looking for my daughter, Elizabeth. Are you here being a whore? Where are you? You know.
So then, why'd you go? Just to like experience
it? You know, I want to say happy birthday to him. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I saw him, you know, and then he was, you know, he might have been, he may or may not allegedly have been tipsy.
Yeah,
you know?
Who knows? Yeah, everybody.
This is
his 22nd
birthday party. He was going hard, you know. So he saw me, you know, he gave me a hug. I was like, happy birthday. And then that was the last time I saw him, you know what I mean? So.
That's cool,
Would you bring him on Workaholics?
They try. I think they want to.
He's
a fan of the show. You know, it just has to work. You know, it's like Miley Cyrus is a huge fan of Workaholics. Like, she tweets, like, when is Workaholics coming back? You know what I mean? So there's people like that love the show. I remember I went, because of Justin Bieber, I went to Wango Tango.
Oh, yeah.
you know, and then I had like a all access pass.
Damn.
So, you know, I was back there and like I met a bunch of people, you know, and I met them because they were like, oh my God, just a dude from Workaholics. You know what I mean? Like Megan Trainor's a huge Workaholics fan.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So she was all like, hey, you know, so I you know, I keep in contact with her. We went to brunch with her and her brothers. You know what I mean?
You went to brunch with Megan Trainor?
Brothers?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like, sorry, I thought I meant, anyway.
And the racism continues. Sorry, you say brothers, and this motherfucker thinks she got black people in her life.
How did, she doesn't seem like that.
Brothers.
Okay.
Blood family.
Okay, man. Well, we need to have a little sign. This means one or the other. So I know what's going
on. So her, and then like I met like a bunch of, you know, a lot of the Vine kids are.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They're real big on Workaholics.
On the flip
know?
Side, have you met people through that or through your comedy through the years that disappointed you? Or
yeah, was
you
there
were like
a star that you really liked that disappointed you?
No, because I don't even go that far with
it. You don't
it.
Seek it out.
Right. Yeah. I'm not seeking that out. I don't personally really care. You know, because I don't even like to notice it myself. Like I walk around and I just walk around like a regular dude because I've been for 10 years trying to get myself, you know, to this point, so it's been a struggle. So it's not in my personality to like seek out fame or notice it and that kind of thing. And Workaholics is just enough fame that I could still go out and be normal.
Right.
But then when I'm with my friends, though, my friends are very much like, okay, all these people in this restaurant know who you are,
right.
That kind of thing. And I'm just kind of going, can we just eat? Like, right. Don't worry about it. If they're brave, they're going to come over and be like, can I take a picture? And I'll say, sure, you know. But other than that, I just, you know, just go about daily life because I'm just going to enjoy it because you never know when it's going to end.
Yeah.
Because I know a bunch of comics who miss it. You know?
Yeah.
They had it and then it's not there anymore and they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to miss it. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. Like your attitude. I think that wraps up round two.
Yeah, completely. That was interesting, man.
It is very interesting.
Can I ask one quick one too?
Sure.
Are there comedy groupies as you go on the road?
Of course.
Yes. Chuckle fuckers.
Chuckle fuckers.
And then, you know, this whole idea of being on TV, like it is very intoxicating.
Yeah, you got chicks sliding into your DMs,
yeah,
bro?
Yeah. I've been with chicks that would have pepper sprayed me 7 years ago. You know what I mean?
Megan Trainor?
Yeah, no,
I'm
come
just kidding.
On. She's actually young. I didn't realize how young she was.
I don't know.
She's only 21.
Justin Bieber?
She's in her brother.
I tore that booty up.
I'd bang Justin.
All right.
Yeah, he's cute. He's like, you know what? By the way, he has that same thing that Jim Carrey has. He has that same thing. You can hate on this kid all you want, but he is pure talent.
Yeah.
Pure charisma. He's like a drop of something, like a little piece of heaven because I'm telling you, if you're around him, it's a storm cloud, you know? And for him to have to go through all that he's gone through and only be 22 years old, people could go fuck themselves
because
they wouldn't be able to handle what he's handled at 22 years old.
Yeah, it must be. It's true. It must take a really unique person to handle that much like pressure and intensity.
Imagine since 9 years old, you've been told you're great. You're wonderful. You're great. After a while, he's going to start to go, oh, you know what? I am great.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. I'm wonderful. And that's when everybody goes, whoa. That's what we do. We build people up and we tear them down.
I mean, it can be an excuse for a little bit. And then, you know, you got to be responsible for some of your actions a little bit.
See, I can tell that, like, how you're saying that, like, that's the kind of judgment that he has to deal with from people all the time. Like, what else
but
is
that's
he
pretty
supposed
fun.
To
Matt
do?
Would have a good take because Matt spent a ton of time around a lot of celebrities. He would have
I know,
a good
but it's
judgment.
Like, but I'm saying the kid's 21. He's at the time that all this stuff you're talking about is going on, he was 18, 19 years old. Imagine being 19 years old with $100 million and no parental supervision.
I can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just imagine.
Oh, I was a dick with $30, bro.
Word, son. Do you know the dumb shit I would do with $100 million right now at 43? You know what I mean?
Oh, genocide.
Yeah, that'd be good. I always
genocide.
Say I would get a.
Not like real genocide. I just mean like a party.
You think genocide's a party?
Yeah, here we go, everybody.
Lord.
This is wrong.
Matt won this whole section.
Oh, come on, man. All right, well, let's get to the end of round two.
He's got. Yes, you got to pick a winner of round two.
I just picked it.
Thank you.
Damn. You never end around with genocide,
but,
pal.
But yeah, you had it up to that point.
I'm writing that right now. Genocide is a no.
It's a no-go.
I'm underlining that.
All right, we move on to round three, which is our quick debate.
We're tied up right now. Ari, you want to check in? How are you feeling about the rounds, brother?
This is an awesome podcast. My first time listening, and it's really something special. I enjoyed it quite
a bit. I like this, Ari.
Yeah, he's a positive guy over there.
So we're picking a topic which is a little relevant to you because we saw that you were doing a lot of live tweeting during the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the Oscars, specifically Chris Rock.
Okay.
How did he do? As a comedian and as someone who I saw, like, you were tweeting tons about it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Do you think he did, or do we all think he did a good job or not?
Right, and we're going to take our sides first. We're each going to have 30 seconds to debate, and then we're going to open it up to you. I'll go first.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get 30 seconds on the clock, please, Mr. Ari Manis?
No problem. Good. Ready? And go.
I think Chris Rock did a great job. I think that he had a ton of responsibility that he seemed to handle without seeming very stressed out of kind of shouldering a lot of black people's energy and ideas and discussion and angst at the same time in front of the very guillotine that they felt like had really cut them off from opportunities this year in the awards area. And I watched him practice here for 2 weeks at the Comedy Store, and it was amazing. He could have went in much more
time
on.
Wait, interesting. He practiced at the Comedy Store?
Yeah, and he went in on Chris Rock about Chris Rock went in on Will Smith. He's like, how'd you expect to get a win for headache? You had a movie about headaches, concussion. He goes, you thought concussion? You had a headache? How hard is it to act like you've got a headache?
And now there's I'll say the two reasons that I was not into it.
Okay, you got 30 seconds. You ready for yours?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, take 30 seconds.
I thought the show should have addressed, obviously, the whole issue, but the whole show became about that to the point where after about a half hour, I was done. I was over. I was like, just steer it in a different direction so that I can hear jokes or something about something else. And my other side is, I wanted him to go there. If he would have said that headache joke, that would have been hysterical. He did say the panties joke about Rihanna, but I wanted him to go even further with it. You know, there were some jokes that didn't work, like the Stacey Dash or whatever, but I feel like he could have had jokes like that headache joke. I would have loved to hear that.
Well, now let me say something about what you both said.
Yeah, totally.
First,
open.
I'm going to start with you.
Yeah.
I get why, you know, white Hollywood doesn't want to hear about this problem anymore. And that was the reason why he kept doing it, and I'm glad that he did. So it's like, yeah, I hope you're uncomfortable. Yeah, I hope you're sick of hearing about black people complaining about something that's been going on for 100 years. So and he handled that part of it great. All the jokes didn't hit, but he handled that part great. And I thought it was like, for him as a comic, but in his head, he probably was like, look at all these rich white people, so uncomfortable, but still, you know, patting themselves on the back for like, look what we did again this year. So I didn't really care about. I thought he was like double-edged sword, because the main message he was saying to white people was, hey, you don't see how this has been a problem for a long time. And then to black people, he was saying, hey, this shit isn't important.
Right.
Like, if you really think there's other issues going on in the world, if this is going to be the one we're going to like harp on, he's like, you know, get out there. There's, you know, this isn't like lynching from back in the day. It's like he's trying to say we've come a long way.
Yeah.
If this is the big thing we're going to harp on right now. Right.
Right.
So I think it was like, I think he handled that part of it great. And, you know, it's not his show. It's the Oscars.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he had to keep a level of dignity and everything at the same time. I mean, that was tough.
And the big point he made, he was like, this isn't the first year that this has happened.
Right.
You know, of the 80 years, probably 70 of them, there was no black, you know, nominees or anyone of color nominees. So I just think it's like, it's, you know, if you're white and you're saying, oh, that was annoying, well, try 450 years of oppression. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
not that I'm that guy, but I'm just saying.
Well, a little of you is that guy, and I think that.
Well, yeah, because you know.
No, and that's okay. Yeah,
I mean, believe me,
it's a tough business.
I'm like, not pretending to understand or
no,
to relate
get it.
To
I'm
that.
Not trying to feel like I'm getting on you, but I think it's just you represent a feeling that
you do represent.
You represent that feeling of like, you know, it's like, oh, okay,
right.
There was slavery. Get over it. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I agree too. Like, I don't like watching movies. Like, there should be a new category, the white guilt category, because a white guilt movie comes out every year now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's and like, that gets old, too, though.
That
even
gets
white
old.
People
it's like,
Jesus Christ,
I'm
come
like,
on.
But here's the problem, though. If you're doing any movie about something that really happened in society pre-1980s, racism has to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's because of the what how our country was founded and everything that happened. Yeah. So that's what we have to deal with. So sorry, white people. You know,
yeah.
You have to like get your comeuppance at some point.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be reflected in the movies because, you know, hey, we, you know, minorities wanna do just movies about a group of people that, you know, they're going to space or just like here's a bank movie about black people.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, where's that bank? You know, so it's all science fiction because white people don't look, you know, it's white people everywhere.
Sure. And it's the brand. I'm also going to chime in here and say that this is a lot of that has to do with the British, man. I think a lot of American whites get a lot of blame for shit. The British fucked everyone, dude. And I'd be more than happy to see a bunch of blacks beating up a British man anyway. Well, because
we
I think
we
that
get
that
back at them in Hollywood because they're always the villain in our, all of our.
That's a good point. That's true. Bane was British. That was
we
British
know who the villain Bane is. Was Javar was British. Yeah. Uncle Scar was British.
That's true.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Do you think that things will change in this next year with this, or do you think we'll be at the same place next year?
No. I think it'll change, but next year is going to be like it's going to be that kind of feeling of like. Are we only doing this because
right.
So it's going to take some time, but I always like liken it. Like, look, society is like sports. Look at sports. Okay. Let's look at the NBA. All right. When the NBA first started, it was all white people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that took a long time. They started, then they let some black people in. All right. And then they let a lot of black people in because black people are better athletes than white people. Okay. That's just in that sport. That's just, yes. I don't know why that is, but that's just what it is. So then, they're talking about coaching. So now there's a lot of black coaches. Still not enough. Now we have one black owner. Okay. How long did that take? Mm. That's how long it's going to take for racism to weed out of society. It's going to take generations.
Yeah.
It's not just going to happen. Like, at least now there are kids who do not know what it feels like to have a white president.
Right.
You know, if you're 7 years old, you know, you're a white kid, seven, and you hear black people talking about racism, you're going to be like, what? There's a black president.
Right.
All I've known is a black president. So it takes generations for it to weed out. But at this point, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
You know, like the Academy is just like, you know, why still? Like in this day and age with Twitter and Instagram and so many eyes on you, they really think that it's okay for it to be all white?
Right. The Academy did look pretty racist. It looked like Jesus.
It just looked old. I'm not going to say it looked racist.
Yeah.
Like
it
looked old.
And that's what they're trying to change. The voters are old.
They look old.
Progeny, you know, like.
That's true. They're trying to make it, yeah.
Flip side of that, the other side of it is, like, you know, you have like, you would say, well, then why don't you just have like, you know, like you had like the Essence Awards or the Image Awards. The problem with that shit is they give it, it's like, I feel like one of the awards are, and being black in a movie goes to, something about the Oscars, because it's so old, it has this like prestigious feel. So you feel like that is the only thing that can like give you credit for what you do. So all they need to do is just come up with something else.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
But it has to be legit. People have to lose.
Right.
It's not a participation award.
Right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. You know?
I mean, I am dumbfounded that Beast in a Nation didn't really have a bigger showing. I just thought it was an unbelievable movie.
Yeah, but I think black movies are like rap and hip hop at the Grammys. Who's voting for these things?
Yeah, right. That's true.
Who's voting? So like, if you're like, I get it. If I'm 70-year-old white guy, I'm on the committee and I see all these movies and I'm like, what is this one about? I don't relate to this at all.
It's straight out of Compton. I've only driven through there once. Yeah.
Like, and that was by accident.
Yeah. We had
a
flat tire.
I made a wrong turn on La Brea.
Yeah. Me and LaVeldrin had a flat tire.
LaDragon?
Yeah, LaDragon.
LaDragon. You and LaDragon.
I think that's his name. I'm going to text someone.
I'll pull back.
There's no way his name was LaDragon.
Yeah, there's no way.
Oh, dude. We're not even going to get into names. I met a black fella named Coincidence. Okay.
Full name, or that was the first
full
name?
Full name, Coincidence.
Not Coincidence.
He was thanking him for something. He worked at the grocery store that I used to work at, and I was like, thanks, Coincidence. That was it. Coincidence. Beautiful, though.
Maybe
like
you
it.
Just said it wrong, and he didn't want, he was like, yeah. You just tie a crack out of my face.
Yeah. Why are you talking to me?
I think it was Coincidence.
All right, so
all right,
that
we got to pick a winner.
You got to pick a winner of that one.
Oh.
That round, ergo, that the entire podcast.
Wow, this one's hard because, you know, again, you brought up something that, like, I feel like if people were listening, they, you know,
can learn from.
They can learn from, like, that is that's a perspective that is, like, not necessarily good or bad, but I think it's like a perspective they need to hear. hey, oh, wow, that's right. There hasn't been a lot of black people, so maybe that's tough for them, too. I don't know if you heard that, you know. But then there's the comics perspective about, like, you know, Chris Rock, which I thought he also – I thought he did a good – okay job. You know, I thought he was stumbling. I don't think he was as prepared as he should have been.
Yeah.
So – but it was still great. You know what I mean? I think I won this one.
it's happened before. You can give it to yourself. It's happened before.
I think I'm giving me this one because I brought out a couple of things about both of you guys, and I think that I – brought it home. People are at home listening like, oh, I like that guy. Yeah, brought out some stuff.
Fair enough.
We learned some things, so I think it's a three-way tie.
I'll accept that. I think it was a great conversation.
Yeah.
I do, 100%.
Yeah, we had a good conversation.
So the winner is Eric Griffin with a K. Let's put on the website, Eric Griffin wins. We'll put a C, though.
Make sure you spell
it right.
Dude,
thank you so much for coming in and being a part of this. And so everybody can...
can check him out on Workaholics, and you can check him out on the new season. You said it starts taping in April, so when
we start taping in July, but you can also send me on Blunt Talk on Stars.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And we can see you. You're traveling and
I'm traveling all over the place. You'll see me doing that. And then I have an hour special that eventually is going to come out. It's in the editing process right now. So we'll see where that ends up.
On Netflix? Or you don't know yet?
I don't know yet. So we'll see what happens.
Huge year, man. That's a huge year for you.
Yeah, well, let's hope so, right?
Good for you, man.
Awesome, dude. Congratulations.
And I'm starting it off with winning this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Fucking take it, fam.
It's your year.
It's going to be my new credit.
All right. Thank you, Eric Griffin. Thank you, Matthew Cole Weiss. Thank you, Ari Manis.
Thank you, Theo Vaughn. We'll see you next time, guys.